It's one of the year's first perfect spring days as Aziz trolls the Wegmans supermarket parking lot for stray shopping carts. Aziz doesn't mind logging long hours walking the asphalt. It's nothing compared to the hiking he used to do in his native Afghanistan.
Very different terrain, so like in mountains. But over here it's flat, it's clean. Yeah.
So it doesn't even feel like work?
For me it's like a picnic.
Aziz worked as an interpreter with the U.S. military in Afghanistan for a decade. He went everywhere the American soldiers went, translating for NATO forces and high-ranking officers like Brigadier General Gunter Katz. He started his military career in 2004, a time when Afghanistan was, in his words, totally destroyed.
And on that time, I went to just help the country, help the people, help the international community to rebuild Afghanistan.
It was a good job, but one with a lot of risk.
Nobody will like you when they will find out that you're working as interpreter for the foreign forces in Afghanistan.
Aziz started getting threat letters and messages passed along from the Taliban. Then the Taliban commander sent a direct message.
You should never come back to the village, and if we will caught you in the city, so you will be killed.
The Special Immigrant Visa, or SIV program, first began in 2008 when it became clear the lives of Iraqi interpreters and military support staff were at serious risk because of their work with the U.S. military. The program expanded to include Afghans a year later. But advocates say the program has some serious flaws, one of which is being addressed through a lawsuit against the U.S. government. 9 Iraqi plaintiffs have filed the suit with the help of the Iraqi Refugee Assistance Project, or IRAP. Mark Doss, a lawyer with IRAP, says the government really hasn't prioritized these cases the way they promised to.
The government, as mandated by Congress in 2013, said the process should take 9 months. So we are seeing this take years and years over what is required by Congress.
The lawsuit isn't trying to get the visas for the interpreters. It's just asking that they get answers on their cases in a reasonable time frame. As it stands, the cases are held up in what's called administrative processing, code for security checks.
They can check their case status online, and it says the same thing, administrative processing. So they never get any information other than that.
Aziz applied for his visa in 2011. He didn't get it until 2014. At this point in the story, it's important to explain why I keep referring to Aziz by his first name. On top of the struggle of just getting the visa, a Kafkaesque situation has left Aziz one of many SIV holders who lost their last names in the process. It's too complicated to really get into here, but basically, because of different conventions across international governing bodies, some of Aziz's immigration documents correctly listed his full name, while others left him with a Madonna-like one-name existence. When his paperwork was processed in the U.S., Aziz, his wife, and their 3 kids were all given the same legal first name, the acronym FNU for First Name Unknown. Their real first names shifted to become their last. With just one name on their Social Security cards, Aziz's family almost had their benefits cut off soon after resettling. Navigating the DMV with a single name is no picnic. And filing taxes? Yeah, right.
When I submit all the forms to the IRS, yeah? Mm-hmm. So after that, I received an answer that your Social Security card is invalid because you do not have your last name.
Despite the troubles with Aziz's name, he's actually faring pretty well. With his good English and his steady job at Wegmans, Aziz is adjusting to his new life in Rochester. For other SIV holders, the transition is a lot harder. Barbara Gowinski supervises therapists at U of R's Highland Family Medicine who treat SIV holders. Her team often sees all the symptoms of post-traumatic stress syndrome in their patients.
And so, like anyone who's been in trauma situations, the soldiers are at it all the time. So they have the same trauma and anxiety.
But because SIV holders are classified as refugees, not as veterans, they're not able to access the targeted services and therapies regular vets can get from the VA.
Asking for help is really, really humiliating. So when someone finally gets to the place where they're ready to ask for help and they feel like there's no help available, it's even more demoralizing that they put their neck out, ask for help, and then it's not available.
Retired Army Captain Matt Zeller is founder of No One Left Behind, an organization he started to help former interpreters and other SIV holders after experiencing his own interpreter saga escaping Afghanistan. At a recent meeting, he told the story of one family to his Rochester chapter volunteers. An Afghan doctor who had been resettled in Washington, D.C. with his wife and two kids had emailed Zeller. The family had fallen through the cracks and made the gut-wrenching decision to go back to Afghanistan.
And upon arrival, within 3 weeks, they were being hunted by the Taliban. They received a letter addressed to them saying, "We know you've returned. We're coming to kill you." And this former translator, who again had been a doctor, emailed me and asked, could I help him get him and his family back to America and this time actually take care of them? And I said I'd do anything I possibly could help, and I never heard from him again. I found out 3 weeks after that I sent the reply, the whole family was killed.
To Zeller, this isn't just a humanitarian issue. It's a national security issue.
If we fail to honor our commitment to these fine folk, either by not giving them their visas or by not properly taking care of them and assimilating them when they arrive here to the point that they feel they need to go back only to be killed, this is not going to be the last war that our country fights.
For Aziz, the helping hand at Wegmans, a little piece of good news just arrived. Aziz figured his family would just have to learn to live with being FNU, first name unknown, until they can apply for citizenship in 5 years and change their names. Changing them all before that point would cost about $2,000, and that's not in the picture. But the Department of Homeland Security just approved a process to acknowledge the mistake was made by the government and waive the change fee. Besides making it easier to file taxes, restoring their names will give Aziz's family back a little bit of the identity they had to leave behind. Aziz is making a point to retain as much of that identity as he can for his kids.
No.
Before working the afternoon shift, he shepherds his family to Sunday school at the Islamic Center of Rochester. On the Sunday I interview him, the kids silently scurry around the house, prepping book bags and jackets before Aziz's wife secures sparkly headscarves on the two girls. Aziz waits in the parking lot while she brings the kids in. There are just too many bad memories from the war that involve mosques, he explains. But it's important that his kids go, both to stay connected to their culture and to step forward into their new lives. In Rochester, I'm Danielle Price for WXXI News.